what am I doing? Hoodhype.com. I talk to myself when there is no one to talk to. I wanna ask me a question. When am I gonna make it up out of a hellish and devilish way? When are you gonna make a million's worth of dividends? When are you gonna make yen generate weed? Who in the hell left the gate open to you in a cell? Is everybody on the wavelength like us? Why do we rip it in half? Do we kick ass? We're back with attack. It's like hop up, yell of it. Can you wait a minute? Can you slow it up a little bit, Nina, so I can get up in it? But did you really want to dabble in fanatical, supernatural, lyrically radical?
You're a name that I've known all the way back to the Gridlock soundtrack, man. The Question song is something that I used to bump, you know, thoroughly way back in the day. But it's kind of weird, man, where your name has been around, you know, obviously since back, that's what, 97, I think it was. And we all the way
98.
Okay. And we all the way to today, man. And I've kind of had a disconnect. I haven't, you know, I know your name's been relevant that whole time, but I haven't always been a listener.
It's different because my name's been around for that long, but it's without radio play and without video, so it's almost impossible if you weren't checking for it. You know what I mean?
And so, I mean, sure. The thing is, you know, we're hearing now more about the, you know, the success. I know you did the tour with Slaughterhouse, which I know how much they document everything they do, and that kind of, you know, I think kind of put a lot more people up on, okay, they touring with Tech, you know, and some people may have been ignorant to you, you know, I knew the name, but now, you know, we're, you know, learning more about the empire that you done built over all these years, man. And how did you start, man? How, I mean, I know you formed, you know, Strange Records back in 99, you know, go ahead and tell the people about that empire, man, how you set that up.
Well, you know, it was from years and years of being fucked over by the industry, man. You know what I'm saying? In 93, I was signed to Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, which I got much love for Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis. But the people that they had running their business when I was signed to them in 93, you know what I'm saying, were incompetent and didn't know what to do with a person such as myself. You know what I mean? So it's like that went sour. And 97, I signed with Quincy Jones. Still cool with Quincy, and he was nice enough to let me off because his people didn't know what to do with a nigga that was rapping backwards like, "Ish, you know what I'm saying?" But they didn't know what to do with that. So it's like J Core came about, and that was sour. They reneged on a lot of shit they was supposed to do. You know what I'm saying? Just J Core was connected with Interscope at the time. You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, me and Travis, man, you know, me myself just got tired of going through these people that don't really know what the fuck to do with new shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, they don't want to take chances with new music. You know what I'm saying? Lauryn Hill said music is supposed to inspire. That means that if a young motherfucker hears something incredible on the radio, you know what I'm saying, or anywhere, or sees it on television, you know what I'm saying, it's supposed to make him want to create something even better to make hip-hop keep growing, not stay the same and fucking duplicate each other, you know what I'm saying? So that's what the majors were doing to me. They wanted me to sound like somebody else, do what Jay-Z was doing, do what Wu-Tang was doing, but I can't do that. I'm from Kansas City, Missouri, you know, so I got to do me. So it's like, what better thing to do than do your own thing? And when I met up with my partner Travis O'Gwynn in 99, he was a fan. He was like, "Hey man, I'm a millionaire already. Da 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 da. I do this thing with Furniture Works and ga, you know, I love your music. What does it take?" I said, "It takes a lot." He said, "I have a lot." You know what I'm saying? And I went full in doing the artist thing. You know what I'm saying? But we are partners, 50-50 partners in Strange Music. You know what I'm sizzling? And I just happened to be the floor plan, you know, and put my album out first to generate revenue. You know what I'm sizzling? And what we did to counter not having video and not having radio, or, you know what I'm saying, not wanting to pay thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, you know what I'm saying, to do that, we started doing the real campaign thing. If you want to be the hip-hop president, you got to get out there and campaign. How do you campaign in hip-hop? You tour. You go to these places where they don't know you, and you build it. You know what I'm saying? You build it. One of our first shows in San Diego, man, it was only 7 people. But when we came back, it was 30 people. When we came back, it was 100 people. When we came back, it was 500. Next thing you know, we're selling out. Da-da-da-da-da. Same story in Denver. Same story in Las Vegas. Same story in Detroit. Same story everywhere. You know what I'm saying? Now in Denmark and Amsterdam and Switzerland, and you know, it's just spreading like a forest fire, and we still doing it without making major video on radio. So when you think about the empire we've built with Strange Music, it's been all campaigning, man, trying to be the hip-hop president, getting out there, street snipes, everything, street teams, you know what I'm sizzling? Yeah. Touring, baby, that's the secret.
So it's real grassroots. Because I think, man, like, you know, here we all about the indie artists. And we feature a lot of talented cats, man. But I think they want to get into the business. And a lot of them realize that indie is the way to go if you want to keep your creativity, be able to do you without having a suit, you know, command you and mold you into what they want you to be. But I think when they get started, man, they can't see a realistic roadmap on how to start from ground zero to actually, you know what I'm saying, get some success.
Because it's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work, man, and it does take money. You might have to use the money you make from your job, you know what I'm saying? Because it's going to cost money for the studio time anyway, you know what I'm saying? So you're already spending money, you know what I'm saying? It's going to take a little bit of money, man, you know what I mean? And you just can't just jump into it and there's no money behind it, you know what I'm saying? There's got to be some amount of money to be able to record it, to be able to press up copies of your own, you know what I'm saying? To really, really, really believe in it that much to press up copies, you know what I'm saying? Hard copies of CDs. But see, nowadays you can do it viral. It's a lot more things you can do to get money. You know what I'm saying? So it's like it's almost easier for them now. You know what I mean? It's out there for you. You can do everything viral. You know what I'm saying? You ain't got to press up no damn CDs. You know what I'm saying?
That's
you can sell your album on the internet. You know what I'm saying? And just get some artwork and put it up for $9.99, and you're selling it. You know they got it easier than we did.
Now we getting into the digital topic. You know, right now, man, everybody wants to go down there and download music for free. They don't want to pay $99, let alone for an indie artist. How much have you had to struggle with that, you know, as far as people, you know, bootlegging or just, you know, all the different services that's out there? How bad have you, you know, been hurt by that?
Or has it just helped you more?
It's helped us at Strange Music, man, in a weird way, man, because we always give the fan extra. You know what I'm saying? It's like, dang, you know, DVDs are still relevant. You know what I'm saying? So... Mm-hmm. Usually we do hard copies, you know what I'm saying, and we put a DVD with it, and we put extra artwork with it. We give, you know, an incentive for the fan to really want to get that as a collector's item, you know what I'm saying, and, you know, it's a beautiful thing. We've given away Absolute Power when it first came out for free, and they still bought it. You know, it was at a time where everybody was saying the RIAA or whatever, you know what I'm saying, it was cracking down on folks, and, you know what I'm saying, it's pirating, and it's da-da-da-da-da, but my theory was, if you do a good enough product and you present it well, of course they're going to sample it and see if it sounds good. If it's more than three or two songs on there, they might want to buy it, man. We do albums, baby.
You actually make a good point about, you know, the collector's item aspect. You know, we saw on your website that when somebody pre-orders, like, the Cognito album that's coming, you get the autograph CD, the T-shirt, the secret download, all that stuff. That's the thing that I think has hurt the industry, too, is that back when in the 90s, it was like every CD that you bought, if it was a hot CD, it was a collector's item. Mm-hmm. And now it's almost like you guys have to work to make it a collector's item again or something like somebody's excited to get in the mail rather than, I'll just download it and listen to it, you know?
Yeah, you got to be creative, though. You got to give them something. Yeah, you say you got to give them something.
You got to have that extra, man. It's got to be that extra. You know how many? I signed Brother Lynch copies. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about, like, my signature alone makes people want to buy it. That's crazy to turn into that. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I don't just sign Tech N9ne material. It's like, usually when we have an album come out, I got to sign, like, 4,000 to 5,000 copies of everything. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, Travis, now we're getting too big to do this. You know, pretty soon I'll be signing 20,000 of them, you know what I'm saying, before the album come out, man. You know, it's tedious, but we do it out of the love for our fans, you know what I'm saying, and it's that extra incentive. You feel me? They want to feel like that this is special. You know, you can easily go on, you know, say iTunes or whatever, or just download or whatever, blah, 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 blah. But if it's something that you can have, that you can show your grandkids, like, look, I was here at this show, and he signed this for me, or I took a picture with him at the meet and greet, I paid $100 extra to meet him for an hour and take pictures with him, he signed all my stuff, look what I have, you know what I'm saying, that's extra, man. I'm gonna say stop or I'm gonna tell a papa. Close the door before your child hear the sound, baby. I'm gonna say stop or I'm gonna tell a papa. This is the town where the clowns put it down, baby. I'ma say stop or I'm gonna tell a papa. Close the door before your child hear the sound, baby. I'ma say stop or I'm gonna tell a papa. Yo, 151 Malibu rum and pineapple juice. For those that don't know, that's K.
caribou loom origin in my zoo.
We have, yeah, it's like the ultimate party flavor, baby, you know.
Yeah,
two cups to get a hot and out of my clothes, you know. Caribou loom, it's like
151 rum,
yeah.
Pineapple juice and mama boo, caribou, get them all numb. Make baby girl come out of a shell and raise hell. Don't stop till the cops come.
Half a bottle of 151 off in a jug, one cup of Malibu rum, baby, that's what's subbed in you. Fill the rest of the jug with pineapple juice and it's cracking. The only defect is waking up like what happened. I like red light parties and fed right bodies who like red light dolly and head right toddies at night. Era bouquet, ule, terrible day.
You I mean, pay. Does that blow you away, man? Because, I mean, coming from the route
hell
that you
yeah,
went.
Blow
with,
me away.
Yeah, with 30,000 people, 40,000 at some of these shows, man, that's crazy to think that you are getting that type of draw without the mainstream exposure.
Let me tell you like this, man. Still, I don't care how big this office I am that I'm in right now that we've built, you know what I'm saying? It's an empire, man. I don't care how big it gets, man. Every night when I'm on stage, like, for example, I was in Amsterdam for the first time last year, and I had no idea what the turnout was going to be and everything. I had forgot to ask the promoter what pre-sales were, and I just got there when it was showtime, and I was backstage. It was a packed house, sold out, and all I can hear is them doing our chant, Kishimo, roll, you know what I'm saying? And they, you know, it sounded like I was at home. And I was like, damn, I can't believe this is what my job has turned into. You know what I'm saying? It's crazy because all I do is write my life. You know what I'm saying? As it progresses, as it stays the same, as it, you know what I mean? As it gets worse. You know what I mean? I write my life. So me writing my life, there was never no guarantee that there was going to be people that felt me, especially a nigga that had red hair at the time and painting his face and shit. You know what I'm saying? A lot of motherfuckers be like, man, fuck that shit. That nigga's a devil worshiper. I got that, you know, black eye for a long time. You know what I'm saying? But every night I'm on stage, whether it be in Salt Lake City, whether it be Denver, Colorado, whether it be in Portland, Oregon, whether it be wherever the hell we are, man, to hear those people out there, to see all these sold out shows. We just did Canada in March, did the whole month of March in Canada, 16 shows, like 15 sold out of 16. Damn. You know what I'm saying? Damn. That's crazy.
That's fucking crazy.
That's fucking crazy, man, because I ain't on TV. And they show us, fuck, don't put my shit on the radio for real. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, what's happening is, it's happening up under everybody's noses. It's an underground thing, but it's boiling over onto the mainstream. Like, XXL just came down here for 3 days. You know what I'm saying? They're doing a big spread on me in XXL. You know what I'm saying? And they saw the show. They saw the office. And then they were like, I feel bad because I don't know about this. How did we miss this? And I'm like, it's easy to miss it when you're not checking for it because I'm not on television like Lil Wayne. I'm not on television like Drake. I'm not on television like Eminem. I'm not on television like Ludacris. And my show as hell ain't on the radio like that. So it's an underground movement that's spilling over. So when I'm on the summer jams doing shit with like T.I. and Keisha Cole and Ying Yang Twins and Twista and Chingy and all these motherfuckers, these major motherfuckers, and then they wondering why the whole motherfucker knows my music. It's crazy. It's the craziest feeling. It's the craziest feeling to be doing Rock the Bells, doing main stage of Rock the Bells, and Busta Rhymes them are watching, Slaughterhouse is watching, Raekwon is watching, and they seeing all these people sing my shit like, where the fuck is this coming from? It's the craziest feeling ever to have KRS-One commend you when you grew up listening to KRS-One, and he's one of the guys that made you want to rap. He tell you, you are the shit, man. And for Busta Rhymes and Spliff to tell you, we ain't never seen no shit like that. There ain't nobody fucking with me and Spliff. You know what I'm saying? It's a beautiful thing, man, and it's crazy how it's happening. So underground that it's boiling over, man. And it's going to come to a time where everybody knows who the fuck I am. And it's been a long ride, man, trying to get the whole world on it because I feel like I'm one of them lyrical motherfuckers that really people need to know about. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely, man. I mean, you definitely deeper than I think what the average person that may not know what they would give you credit for. Back to the label shit real quick. I mean, not the artists necessarily, but do you look at the majors, the shitty-ass mess that they in right now and kind of laugh? Especially considering how, you know, you got the well-oiled machine going and you see labels, it's just, they scared to put out anything right now because...
Yeah, it's funny. It's not funny for the artists, though.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
No
but
doubt.
It's funny. It's funny because the majors, they've been doing it for so many years, they should be up on everything. They shouldn't be behind. dumb motherfuckers. You know what I'm saying? Go back to the grassroots. Motherfuckers are so used to being spoon-fed and, okay, we're just going to do this and piggyback this off of this, you know what I'm saying? And then we're going to put this much money into this. We're going to take all this money and put it into this video. These motherfuckers, you know what I'm saying? They just go back to the grassroots, how they started. You know what I'm saying? When you think about Rick Rubin and how Russell Simmons did Def Jam, go back to the fucking beginning. I ain't saying Def Jam is fucked up. They're doing their thing, whatever the fuck. Yeah. I'm just saying most of these motherfuckers, it's fucking just how we started. Think of Steve Rifkin, you know what I'm saying, with the fucking street team when Big Pun was everywhere, when the Big Pun posters and shit with the Snipes were everywhere. You know what I'm saying? Go back to the fucking roots. Stop being fucking lazy, you motherfuckers. Everybody's so rich. They don't want to spend, you know what I'm saying? It ain't no way that these black motherfuckers ain't got no publishing companies that they own. That we won't piece our money together to get no motherfucking publishing company and get some real fucking money. You know what I'm saying? To own these motherfuckers.
Yeah,
you know, so you got all these rich motherfuckers like 50 Cent and Puffy and Jay-Z. These motherfuckers are like presidents. If niggas can put their money together and do some real shit, nigga, I'm talking about we can really... Anyway, man, that's another...
That's exactly where we want to go with it because it's like, I think, I mean, to me, I see it as slowly but surely, I've seen a lot of talented cats lately get dropped.
Yeah.
I mean, people we didn't talk to recently, like Stat Quo, Obi Trice, a lot of these people, man,
Bishop,
just gifted MCs that's no longer what they label. And I think that it's going slowly back to, like, you know, back to the origins where everybody's going to start doing it on their own.
It's called retrogression, man. It's called retrogression. What that means is going back to the old way, man. Retrogression. You know the word retro, man. Mm-hmm. Retrogression, man. Going back to the old ways. You know what I'm saying? How we started, man. You know what I'm saying? It always goes back. And now it's going back. All they got to do is go back. You know what I'm saying? It's cool that you got your Phantom and your Bentley. And we got all that shit, too. But you got to know that you got to start. You can't be afraid to go do new markets just because, you know, you might have to take a cut, you know what I'm saying, a pay cut when it comes to the upfront in a place that they don't really know you to get people to know you. We have to suck that shit up. When we was in Canada, yeah, we lost some money at some shows, you know what I'm saying, because the guarantee, you know what I'm saying, I can get up to, you know what I'm saying, 50,000 in certain places, you know what I'm saying, but we have to, like, take it down a little bit in these new places to get in these places. You can't be so full of yourself that you can't take a pay cut because the fucking picture is greater later, you know what I'm saying? And later ain't too far from now, you feel me?
Yeah.
Fucking Rock the Bells took me three places in Canada. They took me. It was Toronto and two other places, you know what I'm saying? Vancouver, I think, was, and Calgary. I just came back and did 16 shows and sold out damn near every one of them. That's beautiful. I have to tell Gorilla Union to chang them thank you at Pay Dues when I just did it. I'm like, thank you so much, man. You know what I'm saying? And that's what niggas got to do, man. They got to understand that you have to get out there and make your fan base, man. You have to get out there. A lot of these major motherfuckers, man, they can't even get 300 people to come to their shows, and they're on TV every day.
Yeah.
That don't make no sense. You know why? Because they ain't out there touching the motherfuckers. We out here getting sick and shit. My motherfucking big homie, Big Scoob, got conjunctivitis touching these motherfuckers and pneumonia and shit like that. But that's what happens when you go out there and touch these motherfuckers. But in return, you got a fan, motherfucker. Somebody that's really hearing you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's about that. It's about that. These young motherfuckers don't really care about nothing, but they care about people being respectful. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Especially when a nigga got good music. I ain't saying if you whack, you can do all that, because if you whack, niggas don't tell you. You know what I'm saying? But it's a lot of crazy shit on TV, too. But, you know, the young folks don't really care sometimes nowadays. You know what I'm saying? But yep. It is what it is. There's money out there for all of us. There's a lane for all of us. That's why I never talk about nobody that ain't on no lyrical shit like I say I am, you know what I'm saying? Because there's a lane for everybody. I don't hate. Motherfuckers can find their lane, but all them lanes and all those lanes, from Soulja Boy all the way up to Immortal Technique, no matter what you do in those lanes, you have to get out there and tour. I don't give a fuck if it's Puff Daddy over here. Nigga, you gotta get out there and hit the road with Dirty Money if you want it to work.
I see triple, might be trouble, might see pistols. We ain't trying to hear you haters sucking on sickles. We living it up in truth, double on sizzles. Wonder you made, bro, until your day goes. Why I'm the one to drink you under the table. And all the ladies I will do in time. Once you become a member of my drinking club, you will buy. Trying to tell her truly get new
fruity. Yes, I even do L words and they fruity bazooty. Like to drink it and yell slurs at the movies. If I'm heated, I'm off to get a Carabulu to cool me. By Technizzle and T-Wizzle one high day, we mixed it up and then I say we treat Carabizzle like our lady. Originated in Kansas City, Missouri since 1995, baby.
151 rum, pineapple juice and Malibu, Caribou, get them all numb. Make baby girl come out of a shell and raise hell. Don't stop till the cops come.
Hoodhype.com. Pineapple juice.